Hey there, Plexophiles. Thanks for tuning in to Beauty and the Beast. I'm Laura.
I'm Alex.
You got to do a deep, sexy voice.
I'm Alex.
Perfect. So we are reviewing Beauty and the Beast, the 1991 version and the 2017 version.
Yeah, this is our first double feature on the Plex Files.
Yeah, double the fun. Double the flavor. That's double mint. Come.
Ooh.
So if you want to just hear about the 1991 Beauty and the Beast, which is, spoiler alert, way better than the remake, that's going to play right after this intro. If you want to skip ahead and hear our brutally honest review of the 2017 Beauty and the Beast, you can skip about 35 minutes into the podcast.
Thanks, everybody, and we'll see you on the other side.
Have a good day.
Tale as old as time.
Tale as old as time.
Are you Ariana Grande or
the legendary John Legend?
Oh, great. You sounded just like him. I was so impressed by that.
Yeah, and I look like a puma, just like he does.
A puma. Fabulous. Of course, today for me, this is my favorite movie of all time.
Which you just decided, right?
No. Well, I mean, no. So I love the movie Coraline because it's beautiful. It's got a great storyline. The voice acting's there and everything, but I am a musical person, and Beauty and the Beast, to me, growing up, was everything. My sheets, my pillowcases, it was my costumes on Halloween. My family all calls me Lorabelle at my grandmother's started, and our wedding had Beauty and the Beast themes. We had a cake topper. We had my dress was from the Disney collection and was the Belle dress. Beauty and the Beast is me. I am Beauty and the Beast.
Wow. That was a great sermon.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Praise him, that bastard.
You're wearing a Beauty and the Beast blanket right
now. I have
now.
A quilt covering myself, and as we watched this movie, I drank out of my Bell mug. Not my chip mug. I kind of contemplated, but since you brought me my coffee, I went with the Bell mug because right. That's what it came in. I have several bracelets and things. I feel like I should be wearing everything Beauty and the Beast. My nightgown, my wedding dress, everything that I own.
You'd look like Mr. T or something.
I'd look like a crazy old woman, but I'd look like somebody who just can't.
Can't even
do it. Do anything other than Beauty and the Beast.
What do the sheets say? Was it just images or was there some kind of a catchphrase?
There was no catchphrase, surprisingly. It was just images. There was like Lumiere and Mrs. Potts and Chip. Belle and the Beast were on like the throw pillows and things. So no words, not like bonjour. Or tale as old as time.
Or my whole body is covered in hair.
Yeah. The sheet was just Gaston with his shirt ripped open and I would lay in his chest hair as a six-year-old girl. Totally appropriate. God, I am so happy we're doing this movie, but it comes at a somber time because the new movie is coming out and I have been throwing up for 2 years waiting for this movie, my arms in the air, not vomit, but because I've been so excited about it. And then the preview started coming out and then the soundtrack was released yesterday. And it's, you know, gonna be what we interpret it to be.
It's not as good.
I think we are all going to be sorely disappointed in this new movie. That is my opinion. And this is coming from someone who would allow for you to have a threesome with me and Emma Watson. Like, I love Emma Watson. I think she's beautiful. I love how strong she is. She's a feminist. She's intelligent. And she just looks like she's really phoning it into this. And the soundtrack is freaking auto-tuned. Like, the whole thing sounds like, and I'll be alarming. Who'd have ever thought that? I mean, it's just something. I don't know if that's... We're going to auto-tune that so everyone knows what that sounds right. like.
Yeah.
We had to watch this movie to remind ourselves of how good this movie is. Yep. So when we watch the new one and compare it to this one, we're truly comparing it to this movie. I'm not letting this stand on its own 2 or 4 feet, depending on how the beast is walking. Sometimes he's walking like a buffalo. Sometimes he's walking like a human. But I cannot allow this to be ranked on its own. It has to be compared to the original. The songs are there. They've added some new songs. I just love this movie. And if they fucking butcher this movie, I will go to Disney headquarters and behead the headquarters of Disney head executives.
Yes. Bob Iger, she's coming for you.
Yeah, watch out. I don't know if the FBI is listening to this, but...
I'm sure they are.
Yeah, they're listening to everything. They're probably listening in through my phone.
They said, you know what? I hear there's a lot of intel in those movie podcasts that people do.
those plexophiles out there. We got to get some Chris Hansen action on that. We went and saw Beauty and the Beast when they re-released it in 3D. It must have been 4 years ago. It came out on, I think, around Valentine's Day, near our dating anniversary
I think it was near St. Patrick's Day. Because didn't we go to McCabe's and they had to like shut down the bar because someone died in the bathroom or something?
Yeah, so there's this Irish pub called McCabe's next to the movie theater we went to. This was before the Alamo was ever open. And we were there with my dad and his partner, Brent. And it was the two of us. And we're just like getting an Irish coffee and like an after dinner drink. And then they're like, everyone get out. But you have to pay first, but get out. And then we leave and there's like a fire truck and an ambulance in the back. So someone must have overdosed on cocaine. So that put a little damper on the evening. But the 3D
was so good.
Was so good.
Yeah.
It was amazing. It was so good. And so I don't know if I've ever seen, next to Coraline, that good of a 3D film.
Yeah. 2D animation looks really good in 3D.
Yeah, you can add so many more layers and dimensions to it. I just thought it was stunning. And watching this on Blu-ray, it's just beautiful. The opening scene where they go into the castle, the stained glass story with the enchantress and the beast, the prince, is just beautiful. It's such an amazing shot. This movie took about 3 years to make. The original storyline was going to be that this girl keeps going to dinner with the beast and he keeps asking her to marry him and she keeps saying no, but she keeps going back to dinner. And I was like, how would they have done that for even 10 minutes? Like,
well, isn't that what the old Linda Hamilton show was? Because that was a series.
I never watched that, though.
We should really watch that between now and seeing the new movie.
Oh, we should.
Ron Perlman played the Beast.
Oh, God.
And so they were like, you're fucking weird looking. Let's have you play this guy.
Yeah, you've got a bit of a lockjaw going on there. To me, out of all, I guess, the Disney princesses, Belle is the strongest female character. And also,
why would you say that?
Because she does not give a crap what people think about her. That opening scene where she comes out of her house, apparently it's not okay to be literate as a woman in France. She's walking through this town and people are talking crap about her and being like, ah, whatever, you're getting a book, you idiot, you dumb broad, get over here and suck on this. She just doesn't care. And then this Gaston fellow who is brimming with testosterone is all over her and probably all over those prostitutes, the three girls in the red, yellow, and green, blue.
Which are called the bimbettes.
The bimbettes. They're like the bar bimbos. I'm pretty sure, just call them bimbos. They're bimbos. She does not even bat an eye at him. She's like, she looks for the beauty within a person. Yeah.
So is everybody in that town just so confused that she's not shaking her boobs all the time and coming on to people? Like, the baker is just like, man, I wish she would just suck on it a little bit. Why is she always reading about Jack and the Beanstalk?
She doesn't have like a plummeting neckline or anything like most of the other women in the town. And she's
Can you believe she's wearing long sleeves again?
I wonder if she'll show her boobs. I feel like that's such a positive message, is like beauty is found within. Even the beast goes through the largest transformation in the movie. I mean, it really kind of is his story because he goes through the greatest transformation.
From rapist to gentleman.
I wouldn't say. I think Gaston is a little bit more of a rapist
than the beast. Yeah, in a different way. But Gaston's not like, I'm going to break the fucking door down if you don't eat mashed potatoes with me tonight.
Yeah, that was so intense. And I was watching that very closely this time because I was like, what? How could she ever just like 360 and fall in love with this guy because he is such a jerk to her? But like, you pick up on these moments when he's starting to like become a softer person. And it's when she offers to take the place of Maurice in his dungeon or attic or wherever he's being held. And he just kind of is like, you're willing to do that? You're willing to take your father's place? And she's like, of course. That's what love is. You know, love is sacrifice. And
he's like, that's good because I was going to ask your father to dinner, but I didn't know how to go about it.
Yeah. She's not reliant on a man. These other Disney princesses seem to just fall into these situations or like long for someone to come and save them. And she is proactive about finding adventure in life. She longs for that. It's what she reads in books. And she doesn't even know that this man is a prince until later after she already takes her father's place. And she has no reason to fall in love with him because he's a prince. She probably doesn't know that there's a spell. I don't think she knows the whole movie that there's a spell to be broken until he transforms. And then she's like,
You don't think the talking furniture gave it away?
No, they were talking awfully loud off to the side. Like,
what about this spell? I'm trying to kill myself. I'm so sick of being a candle.
Yeah, I don't think that they ever say that to her. It's always like in asides, you know, to one another. Or they're talking to the beast. I don't think she ever.
Cogsworth should be like, you just need to bat around his scrotum a little bit, just so that the rose will
it beneath all that fur.
Just bat around that bag a little bit, so that we don't have to be appliances anymore.
Appliances. Candlesticks are appliances back in this old time here. I just think that everyone is so mean to her in the town. Her father's an inventor, so naturally she has like a creative mind and they don't like him. Like, they're on the outskirts of town. What is everyone's problem? Maybe if you all covered up a little bit, people would love you for your inner beauty. Town folk. Mob. People.
Mob. Yeah, what are all these other people doing?
Making bread.
And so in the new one, Emma Watson is also the inventor. She's the protagonist, love interest, and has talent as well, right?
Because she wanted her to have more depth. Maybe this movie has too much depth that it just is like a fucking cluster. Because the guy who directs the new movie directed Twilight 3 and 4.
Yeah, his name is like Bill Condom.
Yeah. This movie is going to be a big old condom filled with the excrement. Like, filled
the excrement.
With
the dick excrement.
Yeah, whatever that stuff is called. I love the LeFou and Gaston relationship. Gaston just murders a goose in the beginning of this movie. And LeFou is like a character from Goof Troop.
Is he supposed to be a dwarf?
That's a good question.
Because he's shorter than everyone else in the movie.
Yeah, he is like the size of a child.
Wouldn't Peter Dinklage have been great in the new movie? His voice is too deep, though.
That would have been really interesting.
But Josh Gad, I just can't stand that guy.
Gad, I can't stand him.
Gad.
Yeah, he gets in this weird, like, opera voice sometimes.
But he's like, hey, all of a sudden I'm singing like this.
But my voice is like this. I just don't get Josh Gad. I didn't like him in Book of Mormon. I didn't see the Broadway one. I saw it when it came on tour, and I liked the person who plays his character way more in the touring.
In person,
yeah. It's so funny because Gaston and LeFou, like LeFou, what the hell does LeFou get out of this relationship anyways?
Well, apparently they made him gay in the new one, right? Isn't that?
Yeah, but still he's like longing for Gaston, but I don't think they're like doing things together.
I think he's like a mentor or something, or a squire, like Sword in the Stone.
Sidekick, more so.
Kind of, but I mean, Gaston put out a post on the local bulletin board saying, I need a sidekick to help me. I need an assistant to help me with my day-to-day errands.
Maybe LeFou is like his doofus little brother who never grew taller and their parents died and he's been given him in the will or something.
Yeah. I found him in the attic and I raised him as my own.
Yeah. And then Gaston's
strapping young boys.
Strapping young boys like me. 6 or 7? Dogs? No, strapping young men.
Strapping young boy. What is strapping young boy mean? Like, what is the, strapping? Is that like when you, when you're like holding your chest like this?
Like, when you're like holding like the tether,
the straps?
What do you call it? The straps on your suspenders?
Because every time I've seen a cartoon or someone say strapping young boys, they're always like holding their shirt by their chest.
I don't know if I've ever heard that in another cartoon, strapping young boys, other than To Catch a Predator.
Right.
But he just thinks that he deserves Belle because he's like, she's the most beautiful girl in town, and don't I deserve the best? And he's like, oh, of course, I mean, you do. Right from the moment when I met her, saw her, I said she's gorgeous and I fell. And then it's like he never gets to know her. It's just she's beautiful. So they'll have strapping young boys, and that's all he cares
about. He's probably boned every other girl in the village, and he's like, that's the only one left.
Yep, just this girl who's got her head stuck in a book.
Reading about a beanstalk, I see.
Yeah, flicking that bean to the beanstalk. The Beast was really interesting because whenever you go to Disneyland, the princes are always, like, there was never another version of Prince Philip in Sleeping Beauty or Prince Charming in Snow White and Cinderella. Prince Eric is Prince Eric in The Little Mermaid, but, like, the Beast is never the, I don't even know what his name is. He's the Beast. Like, when he transforms, is she like, hey, Beast? And he's like, my name is Richard or something, you know?
But my name is Doyle. She's like, ugh, I don't know if that's going to work.
Yeah. I mean, I look for beauty within, but
I can't tell everyone I'm married to a guy named Doyle.
Yeah. And what's your last name? Oscar.
McPoyle.
Doyle Oscar. So I'm Belle Oscar. What? I can't even think of a last name that would sound good with Belle.
A Rus, like Belarus.
Bellabeau.
Bella,
like the Billabo moments. I don't know.
Bellabong.
Bellabong. Well, I don't know about that. He basically, later in the movie, blackmails her by capturing her father and committing him to a mental institution. And it's like, well, I'll get him released if you marry me. And it's like, this poor girl, she's like trapped in a dungeon by a beast. And then this stunning man is like, marry me and have seven children come out of you and your father won't be committed to an insane asylum. Do you think she's just like, I'm just going to go lay in this field and go on a hunger strike and be eaten by crows? Because I don't, this is a provincial life.
Did he ever get actually put in the mental institution, or were they just about to put him in?
They were about to put him in, and then they're getting ready to haul him away. And that's when she pulls out the mirror and is like, oh, okay, show me the Beast.
And they're like, put her in the mental institution. Yeah,
put her in the basement of the house with the father.
I think a good movie would be all the scenes where her father is in the mental institution with that green guy.
The green guy who owns the mental institution?
Yeah, because he's probably like torturing his patients and sticking eels down their body and stuff.
He's the guy from A Cure for Wellness. Doesn't that take place? Oh, no, it takes place in Switzerland, yeah. Not Swiss. Swiss cheese.
Yeah, same thing. France, Switzerland.
I think that Belle rejects Gaston's proposal to marry him. And so they're at the lodge or whatever, and he punches LeFou in the face, and he just pops back up. And then LeFou tries to choke him with a belt. Like, there's so many weird things in this. And then he shoots off a gun. They waltz together. Poor Maurice. Nobody will help him. He comes in there and they're like, oh, did the Beast have feet? He's like, yes, he had feet.
Yes, he did have feet, as a matter of fact.
And they're like, crazy old Maurice, eh?
I've never heard of something with feet.
Yeah. He must be on the sauce again. Like all of us here drinking beer.
Did you invent another bathtub full of moonshine, Maurice?
Yeah, because you built that axe that murdered five people in the town. The best part of this movie, I mean, I love all the characters so much, but Lumiere and Cogsworth are just the show stealers.
Yeah, they're great.
They're fucking hilarious. Mm-hmm. I never realized how funny they are, like where they're taking Belle on a tour, and Cogsworth is like, oh, this is from the Baroque era. And you know what they say? If it ain't Baroque, don't fix it. And he wipes a tear. It's so funny. I never noticed that. And then Lumiere and the feather duster and the curtains fooling around. She's like, oh, I always get burned by you. And I'm like, oh, that's so funny because he's a candle.
Because he has gonorrhea.
Oh, yeah. Because he always is touching jalapenos before he puts his hands on her.
The part where the tear comes out, I'd never noticed before, but they probably thought that the voice actor was probably going to laugh a lot harder after he says that. And he just went,
but so, it makes it so much funnier.
So the animator was like, well, I guess the only way I could make him laugh harder is if he just starts crying from going ahead.
Yeah, I'll make this fucker cry if he's not going to laugh harder.
So funny, though.
The other thing that's so funny is when they're in the Be Our Guest song and there's like Lumiere's lament and, you know, Cogsworth is just like, nope, stop, stop, stop this. We have no time for this. No time for fooling around. And then he's in the spotlight with Cogsworth and he's like, 10 years we've been searching or whatever he says. And then I do have a glass of wine in my hand, by the way. And the salt shakers are shaking down upon them.
It looks like snow.
And Cogsworth does the little thing with the clock hands, like windshield wipers to clear the salt off of his face. Oh, it's so good. Belle finally is like, I'm leaving, because she goes to the West Wing, finds the rose. She's about to touch it. And then the Beast just cannot say anything without yelling at people. And so she goes with Philippe, her horse, into the woods and these wolves attack her and the Beast comes and saves her. And that's another like turning point for the Beast, is when he goes and saves her. She takes him back to the castle instead of running away. And she like stands up to him because she's trying to help him. He's got a fucking scratch on his arm.
Yeah.
She probably needed stitches, not a wet washcloth, but.
Well, they didn't have stitches back then.
Yeah. She could have sewed it together.
All they had was lay stitches.
La stitch. They had cross stitch probably, but. And then she's like, don't talk to me that way. And then he's like, fine. Who won't talk to you that way? And then that's when they start.
I'm falling in love with her because she's resisting me. Because
she's standing up to me and putting me in my place a little bit. And I don't think she starts to have feelings for him until he starts to like let down his guard a little bit and they're eating together and he's like shoveling the food into his mouth and looks like a hamster, just like has a bunch of like things in his cheeks. And then she's like, oh, it's okay. You don't know how to use a spoon. So I'll just drink the soup and you can drink it too. And then they're outside. And that's my favorite song of the movie, is Something There.
It's funny because anytime I am thinking about something and I find, or I'm looking for something and I find it, I go, oh, there must be something. Ever since I've seen this movie as a kid, I've always said that line in my head.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so funny. I always sang Tale as Old as Time with an Angela Lansbury voice. Always did that. Even as a kid, I would try and like, that was my first attempt at a British accent. So I'd always go, tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, beauty and the beast. Off to the cupboard with you now, Chip. It's past your bedtime. I'll tell you when you're older, Chip. They're going to go fuck each other now.
You have reached the age
of not needing to know this. Never has a prince been so involved in a movie like this one. That's why I really think it's the Beast movie. But I loved Belle so much. I just like really admired her. Even if people were an asshole to her, she would still be kind to them. It's like that song, Kill Him With Kindness. Kill him. Kill him with kindness. It was probably a saying long before that song came out, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's true. If people are shitty to you, don't stoop to their level. If
be
it affects
even shittier to them.
Yeah, don't be shittier to them. If you become the bigger person and continue to be kind to people, hopefully they will change. And if they don't, like Gaston, then they'll fall off a castle and die. Yeah. So
no, as Cogsworth said in this movie, fuck 'em.
That was in the deleted scenes. Yeah.
That was in the Human Again song.
And I just love this because it's about two people falling in love with each other because he discovers who he is and becomes a kinder person because of Belle. Princess movies are usually about needing a prince to feel like you're something special. And I feel like she doesn't need that. They just fall in love naturally. And it's such a good message that when you're not looking for love, it will find you in sometimes the most unexpected forms, like a dog or a baboon or a buffalo or whatever the beast is.
And the beast learns to, you know, be a better person, be more caring. And Belle learns that she should, you know, put out every once in a while and stop being such a bookworm.
Yeah. Are you gathering that from the two kisses in the movie? Well, I guess her dress does go a little off the shoulder
No, I'm just saying, you know, she realizes, like, hey, I shouldn't be reading all these books all the time.
Yet the follow-up movies are still about her reading a lot. Well, to Chip as a child human.
I mean, now she's got that. She's got lifetimes full of books with that library.
Oh, yeah. It's really cool. And we watched the version that had Human again, which is from the Broadway musical. Yeah,
which was not that good.
You didn't like it? It was kind of seemed out of place.
I didn't like that sequence.
Yeah, well, there was like a weird, when they put like the don't walk on the grass sign, like I felt like that wasn't very 1991.
And there's something interesting. They allude to the fact that the Beast is illiterate in that song. He doesn't know how to read because they're reading Romeo and Juliet in that one scene in between. But I think in the new one, the live action one, he's supposed to be really well read and smart because there's that scene where she's like, you've read all these? And he goes, yes, some of them are in Greek.
I don't know if he says yes.
You think he's like, no.
He goes, no, some of them are in Greek. No. I guess we'll find out when we watch it.
I think they allude to the fact, which, you know, would make sense if he's been living in this castle by himself with no entertainment at all and this huge skyscraper full of books that he would have read them all, you know?
Yeah. You've got not. What is he doing all day for 10 years?
Just being angry.
Just like
stuff?
Writing down things that he probably has like a journal that if a therapist or a police officer found, they'd arrest him. Like think, angry thoughts.
Don't you think Belle would be like, you don't know how to fucking say two?
He's like, twoe.
Twoe. I knew that. It's like, no, you didn't.
Oh my God. That scene where they're in the ballroom. That was the early. Was that the earliest CGI that had happened in movies?
Great Mouse Detective was.
So Great Mouse Detective, and then we have this. I don't think they really did much with in The Little Mermaid.
Maybe Oliver and Company had some CGI buses and
yeah,
cars.
Yeah, maybe
and
a
stuff.
Little bit. But, I mean, that ballroom scene was just incredible. And this was the first animated film to be nominated for an Oscar. And that was before they had a separate category for Best Animated Feature. I think it was because this movie should have won, but Silence of the Lambs came out at the same time. So it's like two completely different movies.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure the Beast would eat her at some point, though.
Probably. Yeah. He would put her down in the well and give her lotion and stuff.
But one of the really insightful lyrics from the Mob song, which is another like awesome song in this movie. I love that part where they're storming the castle. Gaston's leading the way. Is they say, we don't like what we don't understand.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, we get that. You didn't like Belle because you didn't understand her and everything. But that's so true just for society in general. Anything that people don't understand or they don't agree with, they don't like it. Like, they can't cope with it. They just can't even.
Yeah. Like Donald Trump. I mean, we should give him a chance, really, even though we don't understand him.
I wasn't getting that out of the lyrics. Just kidding. But this movie kind of gets at it, right? Where, like, people look different. They act different. So we treat them poorly.
Right.
That was such a positive message for me to have when I was 5 or 6 years old and growing up. You know, my parents had recently divorced and, you know, I felt different and I saw that Belle was different and she was accepted. And I was like, I'll be okay. I'll find a Beast one day and live in his castle.
Did you read a lot of books?
I did. I don't these days, but I mean, I did. I like to read unless it was assigned reading for school. But, you know, I was just always a very quirky kind of person and out there and probably still am to a degree. That's okay. And if people don't like it, fuck off.
Fuck off, as Cogsworth said.
Fall off a castle and die.
You know what my favorite thing about being in elementary school was when the book fair would come by?
Hell yeah.
Wasn't that the most amazing thing? All of a sudden, you're just so interested in books and reading that you're not in for the rest of the year. But you're like, this book comes with like string and crafts and stuff.
And they weren't real books, though. Those ones weren't, at least.
Yeah, but I was like, man, I can't remember a time that I was more excited in school than when the book fair came by.
Oh, that was awesome.
And I could just order all this cool shit.
Totally. No, and I remember getting a couple Beauty and the Beast books, and then there were also cassettes. Like, there were Disney stories on cassettes, so you would get these books, and it was usually the story of Beauty and the Beast, and someone was reading it. I think they would usually try and get one of the voice actors from the movies to do it, because not a lot of pretty much none of these people, with the exception of the voice of Lumiere and Cogsworth, went on to really do much else. I mean, Paige O'Hara, not really, not so much. She's always been Belle. She did some regional theater. They did all the casting in New York, so they found a lot of great voices. Maybe they should have done that for the new Beauty and the Beast, because the voices are extremely underwhelming, with the exception of Dan Stevens and Luke Evans, who I was very impressed with.
Yeah, no, they sounded really good. The Ewan McGregor French accent is really strange. He sounds like high-pitched Pee Wee Herman trying to sing or something.
Yeah, he's just always talking it like, hey, this is us. We are French. Come with me. It's like...
Oh, ho, ho.
Apparently he's married to a French woman too. So I'm like, do you not have conversations? And is she always just like, yes, Ewan, make them eat loaf.
Maybe that's how she talks. I don't know.
Yeah, that's where he got his influence. Maybe like go to a dialect coach or something.
So my wife is always yelling at me. And so this is my impression of her.
Yeah.
Luke.
Again, love Emma Watson. I don't know, man.
She's, yeah, I can totally see why you're apprehensive for this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm very nervous to see this movie. I was elated when I heard she was playing Belle 2 years ago and they started filming this. And then some of the pictures came out and it was her and the Beast. And I was like, oh, this is nice. And then I saw pictures of like Cogsworth and Lumiere and Mrs. Yeah. Potts. And I was like, did they like hire kids right maybe in their freshman year at the Art Institute to do this movie? It looks awful.
No, I mean, the art's cool. It's just a weird kind of like too realistic version of them. That's what's weird.
Terrible.
They look like I said, Pan's Labyrinth stuff.
Yeah. Like the creepy fairies that attack.
They can't make them have as big of faces and stuff.
But their eyes are so far apart, or it looks like they don't have faces, and they added the faces on like very last and just like threw them together. I don't know.
Their eyes aren't part of the structure. Like their faces aren't part of the structure in this. They're part of the like the design on the surface.
Yeah.
And that just doesn't look right.
And Mrs. Potts' face is on one side of the teapot as opposed to like her nose is the spout. She has one eye on both sides of the spout. Well, we bought advance tickets. We're going to go see this Thursday night before it officially is out on Friday. And we're going to go see it, of course, at the Alamo. We are in the front row because I was like, I want to be front and center for this movie.
And because we waited really long.
And because I was going to leave that part out. I'm extremely nervous. I really am. I think this movie is going to make a lot of money. The ratings have not been good for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it could go either way. It could do less than what they expect, which I'm sure they have really high expectations for it. It could do really well. I think it's probably going to do not crazy huge because of these reviews, but I think it's going to be huge with people like you and younger girls in this current generation. But if they can do live action shot for shot of what they did in this animation, it's going to be awesome. It's going to look so cool.
They're not doing that, though. I mean, the story's different. And
they do have like some key set pieces that you can see in the trailer, like Gaston storming the castle and, you know, the Beast like on the edge of a cliff or something, you know?
I don't remember that in the previews, but you're right about that. The mob song is in the- I mean, they've added in new songs. They gave like Emma Watson a new song that's like a minute long. And I'm really nervous. I'm really nervous for this movie because it won't make me love this movie any less. If anything, it'll make me appreciate it. If you are going to remake a movie like this, don't do it half-assed and don't give it to the director of the fucking Twilight movies.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll look amazing. You'd just think they would have done decades worth of market research for this and like getting experts on the property. And
it took them 2 years. They started shooting this like 2.5 years ago. From what I've read, the direction is minimalistic. The director said to Emma, look surprised. And then she's like, oh. And I mean,
you look pretty surprised.
And she has not really been out promoting this other than probably what was in her contract. Luke Evans and Josh Gad have been loving this. And I bet they're probably the best parts.
Yeah.
Dan Stevens, I read, wanted his face not to be CGI because he wanted to be able to give more expression. And they went against it and they did a CGI face. And I read that the Beast is really lacking in that expression that the cartoon has. And I bet a lot of these people are like, fucking told ya that this shouldn't have been this way. And I don't know. It'll be interesting. In terms of rating the original movie, a 10 on a scale of 1 to 5.
Yeah. No, it's a great movie.
It's a great movie. Still love this movie. Every time I watch it, I get goosebumps. It's still new, even though I've seen it, I feel like at least 100 times because I watched it so much. But it's fabulous. And whatever happens Thursday night, I will try not to drink a full bottle of wine when I come home and pass out.
Well, it's going to be super late anyway.
Still, I'll try not to do that.
I think I'm sure it's going to be great. It's going to be a fun experience. What I was going to ask you is, do you think it would have been a smarter move for them to make the new movie with completely new songs and not reference back to the old songs? Because that's just asking for a spanking. Because we listen to the soundtrack and then watch the movie, and it's just clearly a lesser version of the original soundtrack.
Okay, so we've had Cinderella released as a live action, which didn't have music in it. We've had The Jungle Book, which had live action music, and Christopher Walken, yeah, quote-unquote, singing. And they left out some of the critical songs, like the Elephant March. And
yeah, they did two songs in Jungle Book.
I still liked Jungle Book. Now, if I were a hardcore fan of Jungle Book, like I am of Beauty and the Beast, I probably wouldn't have liked it because it wasn't 100% true to the story. Like, he doesn't go to the village in the end, which is kind of like what pulls at your heartstrings because he leaves Bagheera and Baloo behind. And so I thought that was really good. But, you know, Scarlett Johansson singing, and I mean, it was just, they could have done without the music in that. They probably should have done this without the music because it is pretty god awful.
Okay.
And so super excited to see this movie. Can't fucking wait.
We're getting that collectible glass.
We are. We're getting a collectible glass, which I'll shatter at the end if it's bad. That'll be my rating of this movie.
Well, that's the thing, is they're sticking so close to the cartoon in this that pretty much could be a glass from the original cartoon.
We'll just say it's that. Stay tuned for part two, where we review the new Beauty and the Beast.
We'll be right back.
So, we just saw Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Two, as well.
Yeah,
Live action Beauty and the Beast.
Beauty and the Beast Gaiden, as the Japanese would call
it. As they would say. I would say, no words can describe what I'm feeling
quivered,
right now.
As you said,
describe. I'm quivering.
Describe.
Survive. I can't. I need to be auto-tuned by these people. Wow. That was really bad.
Yeah.
You agree?
I mean, I wouldn't say it's really bad, but it was a less good version.
How can you not think it was really bad? What to you was good about this movie?
Dan Stevens.
Two words. Dan Stevens.
Yeah, Dan Stevens, and just the whole Beast character, I thought, was probably even better in this movie than it was in the cartoon.
No way. Why?
He seemed more like a human in this, not as feral. And I love performance capture. I like any movie that does that, which is great because almost every movie does that now. And I thought they did a good job with that. It looked like Dan Stevens the whole time.
It did?
I thought so.
I didn't think so.
Well, you've only seen him in one movie, right?
I mean, I've seen him in a couple things, and I follow him on Instagram because he's beautiful, but I have so much to say, but I don't know where to begin with this movie.
Well,
so many things. I don't know if I should just say words that don't connect to one another.
You should not do that.
Okay, would that be confusing for everyone? Wow. First of all, we already talked about when we reviewed the animated feature, how we had already listened to the soundtrack. It came out that day.
Yeah.
And so we knew what was coming when it came to the musical piece. And so I wasn't shocked when I heard how auto-tuned things were and everything. It just felt like I was watching a stage production at Disney World. It didn't feel like I was watching a movie. Like, the sets were very set-like, and the lighting was so bright in, like, Gaston's tavern that when they were dancing around and they're, like, there weren't women in the bar, which women don't belong in a bar. Women belong in the kitchen of the bar. But they were dancing on tables and such, and it was just very theatrical, but I don't know what type of classical training any of these people have. I know Emma Watson doesn't. I know Ian McKellen obviously has tons of training, Shakespearean background and everything.
But he was in this movie for like 2 days.
He was a voiceover and showed up at the end.
Yeah.
And apparently Cogsworth has a wife.
Apparently a lot of people have significant others in this, like Mrs. Potts. There is a Mr. Potts.
Yes.
But then Mrs. Potts was also giving the eye to Maurice at the end. Didn't
so
you see that
here's
part?
What I thought that was. I thought it was Maurice being like, oh, you're the. Did he ever meet Mrs. Potts when he was in the castle? He met Lumiere and Cogsworth. He never met Mrs. Potts.
I don't know.
Because that's what I was thinking, is maybe it was a nod of, oh my God, it's you. Because he never really
maybe
saw...
Maybe I should be in that mental institution.
He never saw them transform. So he never saw Cogsworth change into a person or Lumiere. But I don't think he ever met Mrs. Potts.
Maybe.
I don't think he did. I don't know. I could be totally wrong, but
it was an odd moment they should have cut out. Like many moments in this movie.
And if they never met, then it was definitely like she was looking for a little something on the side.
Yeah.
And that was weird. So there were some differences in the movies, but let's break down the characters a little bit here. So Belle, Emma Watson, what did you think about her?
She was fine. I don't really see what the big deal is with Emma Watson. I don't think she's like super spectacular.
Yeah. First of all, Hermione Granger, she made that character and everything. I mean, she didn't literally make it. I think J.K. Rowling made it, but...
You just got sued.
I'm going to get sued. I know. But she just seemed very weak as Belle. She was not a strong character. She didn't play her as this adventurous, strong woman who was going to make the best of this situation. She just happened to like come out okay in the end, which I was very surprised about, because Emma Watson as an individual is like a strong feminist. She wanted Belle to be an inventor to give her some backstory. That was totally missing, right?
Well, she invented the laundry machine.
She did?
Yeah.
When did that happen?
At the beginning, when she was doing her laundry. She put all her clothes in a bucket and then had that horse walk around the well.
Oh, but I thought that they were like mad at her for something.
Yeah, they were mad at her for
reading to a kid.
Well, yeah.
And so that was her laundry. It wasn't well invented because the laundry was all over
well
the ground.
Well invented?
Well, exactly.
It was well invented.
No, but the laundry was all over the ground. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but she didn't do that. They said, take your fucking wet clothes with you.
Yeah, that was weird. I had an up moment here. I thought they wrapped the books that she was getting and reading in towels and threw them in the water to destroy the books so she couldn't read them.
Were you in the bathroom during
no,
that scene?
No, I didn't
something?
Go to the bathroom once during this movie.
Oh, okay.
This
I mean,
was just one of those up moments, like I said. It was one of those things where like I totally just missed it. Because Paul Robert or whatever, the Paul Bearer, the
Polar
priest
Bear?
Or whatever, the one that she gets the books from, he comes out and he's like, Belle, you shouldn't read, or whatever he says to her. Yeah. And I was like, oh, they went and got all of his books and wrapped them in towels and threw them in the water and now they're ruined. So she can't read.
So you didn't see that part where the little girl was like, what are you doing? And she says, laundry.
Oh,
and then
I guess.
She says, come sit next to me and I'll teach you how to read.
I must have just breezed over that.
She sounded like Will.i.am when she sang in this movie.
Yeah, she kind of did. We're totally, first of all, skipping over this ridiculous part. But when she first sang, people in the theater like laughed a little bit. There was a reaction for sure. The people next to me would not shut the fuck up in this movie. We were at the Alamo, of course. And so they play that thing where it's like, this theater is now, auditorium is now a no talking zone. And he goes, man, they're not joking around, are they? I'm like, get the fuck out of here. But anyway, that's probably why I missed it. He was probably like going on about his hamburger being a hamburger or whatever. We are totally skipping over the whole opening scene where the Beast is dancing with a harem full of women.
Yeah.
There's no other man to be seen. It's like he's just like having a orgy at the castle with that makeup.
And he's a juggalo with all that makeup. He's like an insane clown posse guy.
He is. He's got like blue eyeliner under his eyes that go into like where the bags under your eyes go.
I thought that was interesting. Have you seen those photos of Jeff Goldblum in the new Thor movie? And he's got blue eye makeup.
No.
And I was like, oh, that looks like that Jeff Goldblum makeup. But there's something interesting. Right when Dan Stevens stands up and starts to like theatrically walk out of his chair, I was like, okay, I'm in. Dan Stevens is totally
committing
to this.
Oh my God.
And I laughed at it. He was taking it so seriously. When this
so you were laughing because you liked it, not because it was stupid?
I mean, it was silly, but it was in character.
Okay.
But when this movie started with the Disney thing, and then it zoomed out, and then there's the roses, and it's like a first-person view of that enchantress picking the rose, I was like, wow, this is going to be really cool.
And then it just went completely downhill from there. The directing in this movie is so boring.
Yeah, it's like he literally gave the actors the direction of, now act surprised. Okay, now Lumiere just did a show for you of dancing plates and forks, so look like you enjoyed it. I guarantee you that was the direction. It wasn't like, now there's corks shooting out of the champagne. And the whole time they did the Be Our Guest scene, she's just like, I'm not impressed by this. I invent washing machines. Yeah, she just didn't seem really into it. It was like she just didn't give a fuck that she was there. She didn't want to be doing this movie. And I remember when they first announced Emma Watson as Belle, she tweeted it. She basically was the one that announced it. And she was just like, my heart is so full. I'm so excited. I hope to do the part justice. And you would have thought that she just hated this. It must have been poor directing because it really seemed like she was not having a good time at all.
I mean, it could be both. She could have not wanted to be there. But, you know, I thought a lot of people weren't really good in this movie, except for Dan Stevens. Luke Evans was pretty good. He kind of played it weird.
How so? When he punched Maurice in the face?
Well, in the beginning. Well, yeah, that was weird. I mean, they did a pretty good turn of making him a bad guy. But at the beginning, I was like, oh, well, he's kind of sympathetic a little bit. Belle's just kind of being a bitch to him. And it wasn't until he like starts talking to the mirror and stuff that you're like, oh, okay, this is Gaston.
Yeah.
If you compare him to the cartoon where that guy's just like instant douchebag, the first time we see him, he's killing an animal out of the sky. And
yeah.
And you know, and he's just ha ha ha, like me, I'm so great. And this one wasn't quite like that at the beginning.
Funny you say me, because there's a song in the musical that's called Me, and Gaston sings it.
Me. But I was like, this is like an interesting take on this, because he was almost a hopeless romantic at the beginning.
Who just wanted a beautiful offspring.
Yeah. I don't know if that was like on purpose or just not handled well. It's bad when the people who work at the parks are playing the part better than the guy who's in the movie playing it.
You know, what was so great about the cartoon is that when you do a musical, you need to have musical talent. You can't just find an actor and teach them how to sing in a few months. These people were trained that were in Beauty and the Beast. They intentionally went and did their casting in New York for the animated film in the 90s. And I mean, there were a couple people that were famous, the voice of Lumiere and the voice of Cogsworth. Otherwise, those individuals did like community or regional theater. And they had amazing, incredible voices. And a lot of them didn't go on to do anything but those characters afterwards in follow-up movies and House of Mouse. And so when you do a musical movie like this and you have something to compare it to, you're doing the same exact song and you don't just fucking knock it out of the park, you're really just trying to get money out of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? this whole movie was like, let's do the animated movie, but let's do it like 75% as good.
Totally. It was weird. And so it started with that weird ball scene with Stanley Tucci and Audra McDonald. Audra McDonald is the only musical person in this movie. She's been on Broadway in a number of things. And so she was in this, and her voice is so out of place because she has a beautiful voice, but everybody else just is not that great. I think Dan Stevens really surprised me with his singing.
He was good.
Yeah.
And the Beast kind of looked pretty fakey most of the time, but whenever they would do like an extreme close-up of his face, I think that stuff is so cool when they can pull it off and do natural faces that an actor does, that you just know that that's a real person doing that.
Yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, I know that he really wanted to not have CGI for the Beast. He wanted to have actual makeup.
Yeah, they might have been able to do that, but we saw all those versions of Beauty and the Beast before the movie started that was makeup, and I think this is a better way to go. The thing that's interesting about Beauty and the Beast, and I didn't realize this, but they've been making movies out of this story for decades and decades. Like, some very early films are Beauty and the Beast adaptations. It's one of those stories that is challenging to filmmakers and storytellers, because it's like, how do you realize this? How do you create a beast and make him not look like a person in a costume?
Yeah.
And I think this one kind of nailed it.
I wouldn't say that, but I think you and I are going to disagree on here's the thing. I have a very different standard, because I mean, the original movie, the best movie, the best Beauty and the Beast from the 90s, was everything to me as, you know, a kid. And so, yes. And it still is as an adult. I mean, it was integrated into our wedding and like everything. I mean, I love that movie. I mean, that is to me a perfect movie,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We just talked for 40 minutes on how much we did.
And now we're talking about this and I'm just like, oh. First of all, don't think this should have been a musical at all. When they stopped having songs for a little bit, it worked. When they weren't singing and they just had some silence in there and just like some dialogue, that's when things really started to work in the movie. But then a song would pop in and it would just be really weird. So I feel like they could have made this work if they didn't add in new songs and if they didn't have any songs to begin with.
Yeah. Well, I remember asking you, do you think it would have been a controversial choice to only do new songs and to not do any of the old ones?
No, because they didn't have any good singers. Because even the song that Maurice and Belle sings, that Celine Dion did like the main cover version or whatever, that didn't sound good because it's Kevin Kline and Emma Watson singing. And then Dan Stevens did have his own song,
which was pretty good.
It was pretty good. They sang another one that was Our Day in the Sun or something that had Mrs. Potts and Chip and all the trinkets, but that was not good. I mean, the aria in the beginning was weird at the ball. I just think if you were going to say we are Disney and we're doing Beauty and the Beast and we're going to have the same types of costumes, pretty much follow the same story arc and do different songs, I don't think it works. I think they should have done it without music. I think The Jungle Book also would have been better without music.
Yeah, well, they kind of did no music in
that. A little bit. They had Christopher Walken singing, which was a weird thing.
I mean, I don't know if you can count that as a musical if it's Christopher Walken singing.
Yeah, he's like, whoopee-doo, I want to be like you. Ooh-ooh. I hope that The Lion King that's coming out in Aladdin, they got to get some unknown musical talent for those. I mean, for The Lion King, they have no excuse, right? It's voiceover acting. They can totally do it. They had to have some face characters for Beauty and the Beast, people that would bring in numbers to the box office and whatnot, which is why Emma Watson was in it. I thought she totally looked the part of Belle. She just totally phoned it in. She looked like her. As soon as they announced her, I was like, that is perfect casting. But she did not. It goes to show that it's not always about looks, right? You can cast someone because they're the right height, they're the right whatever. But if they are not a good fit for the role, if they're not going to give the best performance, then they're not going to do the part any justice.
Yeah.
It doesn't work. And I think a lot of directors think that you can do that, that you can just cast someone who looks the part. But in reality, it's about so much more than that. I think they should have gone with unknowns for this movie.
I didn't even think she looked like her.
You didn't?
No, I mean, she has brown hair and that's it.
I thought she looked like her. Who do you think looked more like? Who do you think that you know would look more like her?
That I know personally?
Well, actors or whatever.
I don't know. I would have picked like so many other actresses before Emma Watson, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, we've touched on Belle, the Beast, Gaston. Cartoon Gaston was like way better, by the way.
Yeah.
LeFou
was hit or miss. They tried to make him funnier than he is in some parts, but...
Yeah, he had some one-liners after Gaston punches Maurice. He's like, ooh, I knew that was going to happen. And I felt like there was supposed to be laughter after that, but nobody in the theater laughed because it was so shocking that Gaston just punched Maurice in the face.
Yeah. And when he was singing and he's like, I don't know how to spell Gaston.
I'm kind of illiterate.
Yeah, I'm illiterate.
Like, yeah. Oh. I was like, is that in the original?
So does Gaston own that bar? I never knew that.
I don't know. In Disney World, there's Gaston's Tavern. Well, he says, I decorate with antlers.
Yeah, I put antlers on everything. And when he says,
dude, antlers in all of my decorating.
I like my lyrics better. but after he sang that in this, I was like, are they at his house? No, they're at a bar. Does he own the bar?
And it looks like a German bar. There's like these long tables and lots of beer. And that was weird. By the way, Gaston totally, like, after Belle blew him off and he had those flowers, the Bimbettes are like, Gaston! And he turns around and, like, goes to fuck the three of them.
Yeah.
Like, they totally just, I mean, that's
By the way,
happened.
The Bimbettes are brunettes in this. It doesn't work quite as well.
No, and they were ugly.
Well, they look fine. They just look very dark-haired. Like, you could see the paint dripping off of their hair.
Sets in this were awful too. Like they were sets.
There were sets in this movie?
Yeah. I don't know if you'll believe this, but they probably shot this in a fictional town.
Yeah, that's kind of what bummed me out the most about this whole movie is when you look at that cartoon and see how they do like the French countryside and thinking about them doing that in live action, they could have made it such a like a sprawling looking thing with helicopter shots and really cool stuff. The closest they came was when Philippe was running back by himself.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of a cool shot. You don't normally see a horse by itself running by itself.
Unless you're watching a horse running by itself.
So I was like, that's pretty cool, but that's like 10 seconds and then we're back into the parking lot, you know,
totally
where the village yes. takes place. And the whole time I was like, man, this looks like something on, you know, Doctor Who, like the old Doctor Who.
I thought it was like Pirates of the Caribbean, where they go into the towns like Tortuga and yeah. stuff. I was like, this is the recycled set from a Pirates movie.
I just don't get how they could make a movie look so setty like this. And there's only like a couple of sets.
Yeah. I mean, it's the castle and the town. It's weird because Belle is supposed to live on the outskirts of town, and it seemed like she lived right
yeah, like
in town.
Right in the middle of town.
Yeah.
She's like on Colfax Avenue.
Yeah, she's like right on the corner there. So she's like, when she runs into the field, she has to like run through this archway, and then all of a sudden there's a field, and I'm like, why isn't her house out there in the field?
Some people can't afford that.
I just assume they can.
Especially
then.
when you only read books for a living.
Yeah, and invent washing machines that are really just putting your water in the dirty well water.
Yep.
The other thing that was interesting, so there were differences in terms of plot. So the Beast is a spoiled brat, obviously, and he lost his mother just like Belle. I never realized that Belle would have had a mother as a kid. But she died from the plague, and they go... This is the thing that's really weird.
This show is stupid.
Huh?
The Paris thing?
Yeah, so the Enchantress gives the Beast. So she's like, you're a beast, and here's a book where you can go anywhere in the world. And I'm like, well, thank you, and fuck. Like, what a cool gift, but I'm a beast. So they go to where Belle was born and where her mother died, and she has the plague, and they have, like, those creepy doctor's masks with, like, the long beaks on them.
Yeah.
What the fuck was that? That was the plague, super weird.
The plague doctor.
No, I know what that was, but, like, what was that where he has a traveling book and he says, oh, she died of the plague. This is a doctor's mask. That yeah. was really bizarre to me.
When they did that, I was like, are they not going to use the mirror? Is this the new mirror? Is it a book?
Yeah. Well, and the other part that's funny is when Belle goes into the town and she goes, here's the Beast. And she shows him this, like, fucking dirty ass mirror, and you can like barely see yeah. the Beast on it.
Yeah,
like,
you couldn't see anything in that mirror.
No, I'd be like, is that a hair? Is that like vomit? What is that?
And the back of the mirror was so complex, and all the designs in this movie were infuriating. I thought all the trinkets and stuff.
Oh,
don't even bother putting a fucking face on these things, like, because they're just grasping for straws at like, oh, well, this kind of looks like eyes up here. Let's make these eyes and then this curtain. It kind of looks like a mouth when we're talking. And then Stanley Tucci, the harpsichord, doesn't look like anything. Like, they might as well have not even given him a face at all.
I know.
I don't get why they're like, oh, well, it's realistic, you know? It's like, none of this shit is real. Like,
yeah, no,
don't,
it's a talking clock.
Yeah, just make it look like a cartoon. They're going to turn into people at the end anyway.
Yeah, that was really strange. I mean, and then some of the other things that we're missing, Maurice is not like that sickly doctor where Gaston's like, I'll force Belle to marry right. me. She'll be dependent on me because her father will be locked away. And so then he has like that meeting in his tavern with the psych ward owner, and there kind of is one, but they're able to just like easily break out.
Yeah.
And he's just like, my daughter, she's strong-willed, and oh, there she goes on our horse, and do you have any tea? Like, what was that? In the cartoon, Chip sneaks off with Belle. He sneaks into her bag, going back to the house, and so he uses the wood chopper to save them. I guess he couldn't use the well water of her washing machine to save them, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they totally cut out the chopping machine that they made.
Yeah. Well, the other weird part is Maurice is like, I'm going to the market. And I'm like, she just walked through a fucking market, farmer's market, through the town. They're like, bread, eggs, cheese, whatever.
Yeah, but you notice no one was like, useless invention? Would you like a useless invention?
Yeah, they're like, well, the other funny thing is, what was the movie we watched where they were singing about how much they hated someone? And it was like,
Muppet Christmas
Carol. Muppet Christmas Carol. This is another example of someone just like walking through town and they're all standing still and staring at her and singing. And she's just, that was the other thing that was weird is you could tell that it was just like a silent set and she's just walking through reading her book and they all turn and are singing at her. And it's this weird set. And it's just like, what a fucking awkward moment that was. They're like, all right, now walk through this trail or make this path. All right. Yep. And one of the lyrics says, and her nose stuck in a book and she has the book closed and is like buying some bread. I was like, just the whole timing of this does not work. It was so weird. The other thing too, the harpsichord did not exist in the first movie. That was not a character. So some weird things there that bothered me. The other thing too is the most climactic part of this movie was the mob song.
Yeah.
I thought, apparently this village has the women's march attendees because there was a long line of mobsters.
Yeah.
They just didn't stop. And when they go into the castle in the cartoon, the knights come to life, everything does, the stove. And in this, it was like, well, Cogsworth, plumet, harpsichord, wardrobe, let's attack.
Like,
hat rack.
We can't figure out how to foolishly design all these other things in here to kind of have faces.
Yeah.
So let's just not even bother.
They literally, it was just those things, those characters that fought everyone off.
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think about that, but you're right. There was more stuff in there.
Yeah, and what gets them going, because they're like, all right, I've got an idea. And then they all go and freeze like they do in the cartoon. And then he goes over, LeFou goes, this must be your grandmother. And she goes, grandmother? And it's like, you do look like his fucking grandmother.
Yeah, and you're just a porcelain face.
Yeah, so weird. And that scene at the end where they greet everyone and the townspeople come in and like Mr. Potts is there and Cogsworth's wife.
That was his wife?
Weird. Yes.
Really?
Because she goes, oh, and she says Cogsworth. And he's like, oh, no. Because he like hates his wife and they're dancing at the end and she's like dancing all close with him.
They didn't live in that castle with the Beast? They all had lives outside of their
work? No, I think they worked for them, but that's the part that's like, I don't know.
That was so weird because they didn't do any of that in the cartoon where they're like, like people in the town knew them and stuff. When they did that in this, I was like, that is strange. Why even do that? And then when that Mr. Potts was in there and he's like, this seems so familiar. And I was like, what are they doing? Why are they even trying with that?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, so weird. What did you think of Ewan McGregor as Lumiere?
You know, I like Ewan McGregor. I think he's an awesome actor. I love you, Philip Morris. I think he should have gotten an Oscar nomination for that.
Oh, yeah,
he was so
good.
It's just really hard to beat Jerry Orbach French impression that he does.
He is so good. And Be Our Guest, I mean, they almost like raised it an octave. So that was kind of weird. But yeah, I was not a fan of Ewan McGregor as Lumiere.
No, I wasn't even really a fan of Ian McKellen as Cogsworth either.
And he is one of my absolute favorite actors. I love Ian McKellen. I think he's fabulous. This is the second movie that Ian McKellen has done with Bill Condon. He did Gods and Monsters with him.
Which is an older movie, right?
Yeah, really great movie. Brendan Fraser.
So what has Bill Condon done other than this and Gods and Monsters?
The first time we reviewed the first movie, we said he did two Twilight movies, but he's only done one Twilight movie. But he's done a number of movies actually with Ian McKellen. He did Mr. Holmes that came out not too long ago. Oh, no, he did do two Twilight movies. Part one.
Two parts of one movie? Yeah. I think that's one movie.
part one and two. Yeah, whatever. He did Dreamgirls.
Those are all pretty good, successful movies.
I mean, some of them.
I heard Mr. Holmes is pretty good.
Yeah, it's out. We should definitely check it out. Ian McKellen is a fantastic actor. He's amazing in Apt Pupil and Gods and Monsters. And yeah. I mean,
never seen Apt Pupil.
It's really good. Nazis. It's a Nazi movie.
I do love a good Nazi movie.
Yeah, speaking of Mrs. Potts compared to Angela Lansbury, since we're talking a little Bed Knobs and Broomsticks reference here.
Yeah.
No comparison. Angela Lansbury, hands down.
Yeah, I mean, she is an inimitable voice and singing talent, but Emma Thompson's pretty good. I would say she's maybe the best singer in this movie.
Not Dan Stevens? Audra McDonald, hands down.
Well, yeah. I guess I mean person who doesn't sing all the time.
What? No, she doesn't either. She was pretty good. Chip was fine.
Chip was Cox terrible. What are you talking about?
I mean, well, everyone was fine in this movie. No one like really stood out to me. Maurice was weird. Kevin Kline was not a fit for that role. I didn't really
He should
get
have played
that.
Dual roles in this.
That would have been really interesting. Cogsworth, you just cannot beat Cogsworth from the cartoon. He is so animated and hilarious. And when you have those trinkets too that are so lifelike like that, they can't dance around and wipe tears when they make themselves cry of laughter. And you just lose so much of that cartoony element there. And so it just was really strange.
You know what's interesting that I didn't even realize something in the back of my head ever since I was a kid that I didn't even realize until I saw this movie is whenever like a clock character or something falls and all their pieces fall out, I get super anxious because I'm like, how are they going to pick all that stuff up?
You're like, they're dead now.
And in the cartoon, like Cogsworth falls down several stairs and pieces are flying out of him. And I'm like, oh my God, how's he going to get all those pieces back?
And I don't think he ever does. He just somehow keeps operating.
Yeah. But I was just not a fan of the designs of those at all.
No.
I don't think any of them looked good.
Well, it was weird because at the end of the movie, just like the original, Gaston tries to kill the Beast. I guess he does kill the Beast. So all of the characters die. They lose life as the trinkets
and that
or whatever.
Was a pretty good scene.
That was really interesting, but it wasn't sad or anything. I didn't get emotional. Were you really? I did not. I had no emotional ties to these characters. If that would have happened in the cartoon, I would have lost it. Somehow the Enchantress is there. She's the one that saves Maurice in the woods when Gaston ties him up to be eaten by the wolves. And she's the narrator in the beginning, which I thought it was weird that there was a female narrator. But yeah, so she just walks up and all of a sudden she's like, here's the rose. And then does she just disappear in the end? She's not out with the townspeople or something?
I don't know. The rose just was magic in the old one, right? The Enchantress didn't have to physically be in the space again to get it to work. That was so stupid. Why would they do that in this movie?
I don't know. And she looked like she had some disease, and then she started looking like younger and younger as it progressed.
And they made her look like Belle's plague mom. So I was like, is that her mother? Did her mother survive the plague in Paris? But then I was like, no, that's the Enchantress. But why would they do that? And why are they lingering on this shot of her when it doesn't even have anything to do with her? Like, it's all about Belle and the Beast and their cutting away from that.
And then in the end, when they had the final ballroom scene, Belle and the Beast did not stand out at all. I guess she like looks at him and he's like, what? And she goes, have you ever thought about growing a beard? And he's like,
which was clearly not a human sound effect.
Yeah. He like snarled at her.
Yeah. You know what was funny is when he turns into a human at the end in the cartoon, the guy's like, Belle? But in this one, he doesn't say anything.
Yeah, they just like start making out.
Are you going to say something? Did he lose the ability to speak once he became a human again?
Isn't it funny, too, that they were way up in the tower and they come downstairs and he's just like wearing his cutoff shorts and he's barefoot and he's just like, hey, it's me. And they don't really have that moment where it's like, Cogsworth, Mrs. Potts, like in the cartoon. Yeah. It's just like,
all right, get back to work.
Yeah, you go dust something over there.
I need more tomato soup.
So we are both in agreement that this is better than the original movie.
Yes, it's better than the 1946 silent movie or whatever.
It's better than the Linda Hamilton version with...
so we think. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I wonder if this is going to get bad reviews.
It already has gotten bad reviews.
Well, I wonder if that's going to affect it because
apparently a drive-in theater in Alabama won't play it because LeFou is gay.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. The whole time I was like, well, he's not like gay, like everyone's saying in this. He's just
into
really,
guys.
He's just really admiring Gaston. God. But then he started dancing with that other guy. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, this is what everyone's getting upset about, I guess. Dancing with a guy for 5 seconds.
Yeah, because
not even that.
The fact that the Beast was forcing Belle to be captive and be his prisoner and that bestiality is okay is fine. But this is not this one glance at this other man.
What did you think about LeFou temporarily becoming an ally? At the end?
That was interesting when he was pouring Mrs. Potts' water all over them. It was interesting.
I was like, why?
I know. He kind of just disappears in the other one. I'm not going to go see this again in the theater.
Yeah, you thought you were going to see this like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah. I was totally. I mean, all day I was like, I wore a Beauty and the Beast shirt there. I took my picture with some people in costumes. I was drinking out of my Beauty and the Beast wine glass today. Got out all my Beauty and the Beast shit. And I will keep it out because none of it is branded towards the new movie.
Right.
So if you were to rate the original movie on the Plex File scale, what would you give it?
I'd give it a 5. It's one of the best animated movies ever.
I would give it a 5 because it is the best animated movie ever. What would you give the new Beauty and the Beast?
I'd probably give it a 2.
I'm really teetering between a 1 and a 2 here.
A 1 and a 2? You didn't like anything about it?
It had its moments. I would give it a 2, reluctantly.
Here's some positive things I would say about it. I do like that they made the Beast not a moron that didn't know how to read like they did in the cartoon. Because in the movie, it gives them something in common. I don't know if they ever really have that in the cartoon.
No, but she's teaching him. It's the whole finding kindness and everything. I feel like he just wants to fuck someone. And well, that's why he's like, oh, yeah, I know how to read books. And then he's like, oh, Romeo and Juliet, that's so typical because you're a woman or whatever he says. That's interesting. What else?
No, I like that aspect. I thought they did a pretty good job of kind of showing more of the estate of the castle than they do in the cartoon. But they don't even do that too much. I thought it was a nice touch that Gaston was talking about shooting things when they're not looking, and then they paid that off at the end with the Beast instead of doing the stab.
Yeah. I'm glad they threw their courage to the sticking place again.
Yeah. Do you think that this would have been even worse of an experience if you hadn't heard the soundtrack beforehand? Because, like, even knowing the songs when they started singing this, I was like,
yeah, as soon as Emma Watson started singing in the beginning, there were like reactions in the theater. It was a sold out showing that we were at. It was completely sold out. And the girl who was sitting next to me was, of course, singing every song and then going, ugh, after someone would sing it. And I'm like, would you shut up? Like, you aren't even singing it
very
well.
So she didn't like it either?
I guess not. I'm like, how can you hear what they're saying? You're singing. The good things I'd say about this movie are they had some cool moments, like the castle in the opening credits and the dancing at the end.
I like that Dune ending credits where they showed all the actors and they're like, I was in this movie.
Yeah, and they're like moving just like the live action posters that were at the Alamo and like they've been doing on their Instagram campaigns. Yeah.
How did anyone think that powdered wigs were a good looking thing?
Like, who knows?
Like those always look terrible.
I thought it was going like an Amadeus route at first because he had a harem of like 40 women and was dressed like an idiot. And so they were all wearing high heels, even like Gaston and LeFou. It was really weird. But I'm really curious to continue to see the reactions of people that I mean, I was 4 when this movie came out, the original, not this one. I'm not a baby talking here. I think that the people that are going to have the strongest reaction to this are people who grew up. Belle was their Disney princess. Like when you were a kid, it's kind of like how boys had a superhero, right? If you were a Batman fan or Superman or Spider-Man or whatever, girls had their Disney princesses. Like that's what they looked up to in a sense. I mean, I'm not saying that for everyone, but I'm saying that those who did, like they either had their Cinderella or Snow White. And now we're in this new age where there's Rapunzel and Elsa, Anna from Frozen and from Tangled. But back in the day, it was Ariel and Cinderella and Aurora and Snow White and Belle. Then there was this weird period where there was like Mulan and Pocahontas, and they tried to do like some
ethnic princesses. Is that what you're saying?
Is Pocahontas a princess?
As soon as they stopped being white, it became a problem.
No, but they weren't even princesses because they didn't marry like a king or anything in the end.
I think princess is like a state of mind. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you could call it a theme. I think you could call it like a female leading character. It's just like Brave. right? Yeah. Merida, a strong Disney lead that you looked up to. And it was either a princess or it was like Pocahontas or Mulan or Merida, which is a newer one. There was also The Hunchback of Notre Dame, Esmeralda. Then there was Hercules, Susan Egan, who was the Broadway Belle. She was the voice of Megara. So for a lot of girls, it was Belle growing up that were in my age group. And there was kind of this dry spell where there weren't princesses for a while. And I feel like the next following one was Tiana in The Princess and the Frog and Rapunzel after that. But I mean, late 90s, Princess Jasmine. Okay, she came after Belle. So I mean, there were. It's just Belle was my Disney princess. And so
mine too.
Mind you, I married her. You kind of did, because I am her.
Yeah, but you hate books.
And beasts and clocks and candlelight. I don't hate books. I just read them on an iPad.
Do you?
Well, I watch lynda.com tutorials. I'm really curious to see the reactions here, but forever and always, 1991 was the year of the bee and the bee.
Yeah, I agree and agree.
So I think it's only fair to end this podcast with a song.
Which one?
Let's end it with...
And I know she'll never leave me, 'cause I know I made her queef.
Perfect. That's brilliant. Be our guest and let us know if you disagree with us. You can find me on Twitter, Laura Megaplex. There's an at sign, I think, first. That's how Twitter works.
And direct all your Twitter engagement only to Laura.
Yes, please. Thank you for taking me to see this. Thank you for playing along with the hype. And he's going to go hold me while I cry myself to sleep.
Yeah, no, we're probably going to watch the original again.
Yeah, we needed to cleanse our palate after watching that. And I'm probably going to have a few shots of Fireball because I took the day off work. To either party like the Broncos won the Super Bowl, which I don't care about the Broncos, but if I did, I would party very hard if they won the Super Bowl. And so therefore, if they didn't win the Super Bowl, I would have a day of sorrow. And so we did not win the Super Bowl with Beauty and the Beast. So I'm going to have a day of sorrow tomorrow. And it's St. Patrick's Day. So I'm going to drink green things like wheatgrass.
Sounds good.
Maybe a little bit of avocado juice.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Gotta take the seat out of the middle, though.
It's true.
Well, I know you'll never rate us, even though we're on iTunes forevermore.
A story told through time.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Happening in New York. He's a lemon, she's a lime. Beauty and King Dork.
He's Adam to her Eve. She's Mindy to his Mark. Her hair's like silk, he's had a weave.
Beauty and King Dork.
What did you say?
Huh? Oh, I said, how useful is the spork? You know, that spoon fork thing you get at Kentucky Fried Chicken? I covered that up pretty well.